God, you're listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world for our sins. While we were still sinners, he gave his life for us that we might have everlasting life, that we might come back into our proper relationship with God. Amen. Yet and still some of us still seem to forbear. There are some who still seem to rebel. There are some who still seem to reject. There's some who still refuse to accept what Christ has done for them. And the good thing that I love about God is that he gives us the choice. And if that's your choice, that's your choice. I've made my choice, and everyone else will have to make their own. You know, we see so many different things going on in this world. We like to know why these things are happening, what's going on, you know. Why is there so much war, and why is there so much, why are people at each other's throats, and why is there so much suffering? Why is all this stuff going on? And we like to look at each other and blame each other. We like to look at each other and hold each other responsible and look at each other and ask that someone comes and saves us, that someone comes and takes care of these problems and makes things right. And we forget that Christ has come, that we've already been given a Savior. We forget to take into account that we live in a fallen world, and we're in a fallen world because of sin. That because of rebellion to God's word, because of rebellion to his will, these things have entered into the world. And he has provided a way for us to find peace. Will we do it before Christ returns? Well, according to the scriptures, it doesn't seem so. We won't do it. But Christ will come back. And he will rule and reign. And he will stop all of the violence and all of the death, all of the wickedness. And he will establish his kingdom in righteousness and peace and love. So, because we don't retain God in our knowledge, we are given over to do these things that are inconvenient, these things that cause us problems. All of this stuff comes from rebellion, from the fallen nature of man in the world. The scripture says in Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which aren't convenient. If you don't want to accept what God has said, if you don't want to do it his way, then he gives you a choice. Do it your way. But you're going to miss the mark. God's will is for things to go good for us. God's will is for us to live in peace. God's will is for us to know him and have a relationship with him and to be fruitful and to multiply and to have dominion on the earth and to live joyful, fulfilled lives. But when we don't retain God in our knowledge, what do? We lean to our own understanding. And the scripture says that when there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof lead unto destruction. So we are to acknowledge God in all of our ways and let him direct our paths. But do we do that? No, we'll do things our own way. And we get into things that we shouldn't even be getting into because of that reprobate mind, because we don't retain God in our knowledge, because we don't seek his will before we take a step, before we do something. We do it the way that we think would be right. So we get things mixed up, like relationships. We enter into a relationship a certain way, such as maybe we just live together and have children and never make that commitment to each other through a marriage covenant. And we come together as two single people, not totally committed to each other, not willing to yet to commit to each other through a marriage. And we want to live together or try each other out, or we don't want to get married. For some reason, we don't want to make that commitment. And then the children come. And now there's children involved. And time goes on, and you're living like you're married, but you haven't made that commitment. You're not married. But in your mind, because you've been living as a married person, you expect to have the same relationship that married people do. But you wouldn't make that commitment in the first place when you got together. So now that you have got children and the home and bills and all that kind of stuff together, now you want to up the ante and say, okay, now we need to act like we're married. But you weren't willing to make that commitment to each other in the first place. The reprobate mind. Now you're thinking that you should be acting like you're married, but you never wanted to make the commitment. Now, when someone strays, they're thinking, hey, I'm not married. They're making up all kinds of excuses. As a matter of fact, you weren't married. Now there's the problems come up. First thing someone says, hey, we weren't married. Fornication. You weren't married. But you were thinking that you should live, you should have the same type of respect for each other as married people would, but you wouldn't get married in the first place. You wouldn't give each other that enough respect to commit to that before you got children and got in so deep. That's why the Bible teaches against fornication. But you want to press on, you want to do it your own way, you get the problem. It's the scriptures telling you that you begin to do things because you don't retain God in your knowledge. You begin to do things that aren't convenient. The scripture goes on and it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. A lot of people have already heard the scriptures. A lot of people, there's so many churches on, they're everywhere. And people would rather go, they would rather go to the movies or go to the club or sit around and drink their beers and smoke their blunt than to go give God an hour. And then they run into problems and they turn around and blame another man for it. When they haven't taken the responsibility, when they haven't retained God in their knowledge. A lot of people, they can read, they can pick up a Bible and they can read it, but they refuse to read a Bible. They'd rather pick up a Playboy or a Penthouse. Or they'd rather read some junk that doesn't help at all. And then they have problems. because they refuse to retain God in their knowledge. And what do? They look to the government. They look to social programs or something. You know, they blame it on this or blame it on that. But the last thing they want to do is try God. We get into all these different things. Everybody's sleeping with different people and all that kind of stuff, sleeping around in the neighborhood, up and down the street, doing drugs and all different kinds of things. Then they get into fights and people get killed. And then they call the police and say the police aren't doing a good job. It's not the police's job to make you act like a moral responsible person. The scriptures are there to teach you what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And then people want to take the scriptures and throw them out the window and then expect life to go right and everyone to have morals. But what they forget is that everyone has their own idea of what is right. That's the good thing about the scriptures. We come to the scriptures, we can all open it up and read the same thing. That's the good thing about the Holy Spirit. We can all get the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can speak one thing to everybody, teach everybody. But we want to rebel. We want to do everything. We want to do everything else but come to God. Million and one excuses. Want to talk about the hypocrites in the church, want to talk about the preachers and this, that, and the other, and everything. Look, nobody is going to be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect, but nobody can take you to heaven on their coattail. Nobody can live a godly life for you just because someone else is making a mistake doesn't mean that you have to make the mistake. Praise God. We need to humble ourselves and turn to the Lord. There's no presidential candidate that's going to straighten things out and make things better. It's not going to happen. We can't put our trust in men, the devices of men. We have to trust God. We have to trust the Lord. We have to believe what he says. We will believe some slick-talking politician, and we will stick to whatever he says and defend that politician no matter what, whether they lie, whether they have all kinds of perverted sexual relationships, or whether they're on drugs or whatever. We'll say, oh, I don't care, I don't want to, you know, that doesn't make any difference. You know, defend them to death. But let somebody see something go wrong in a church one time. They won't go to church. They'll totally drop it. They won't think about God. They'll drop God because they saw somebody make a mistake. Drop God. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to think. We need to think. We need to humble ourselves and come to God. And he has promised that he will heal our land. Will we do that? Some people will. Some people will. And I believe that you, as times get darker, you'll know who it is that has given their life to the Lord. You won't have to ask who's who. It will become more and more obvious. Praise God. Praise God. The scripture has already told us what to look for. When we see deceit, when we see murder, when we see all these things that the scripture has named here, we know that that's a red flag. What's going on? The scripture says that people would not retain God in their knowledge, and they would become without understanding. The scripture talks about in the last days, Jesus was talking and saying how the nations would be filled with terror and confusion. Amen. And there's a reason. You know, we've gotten to the point to where we even want to blame God for the condition that our country is in, that the nations are in, that the world is in. anything but take responsibility for our rebellion. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God is in charge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we change? We come back. We come back to the Lord. We seek Him. We seek His will. Psalms 119, verse 1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the way, in the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Amen. It doesn't say, blessed are the undefiled in their own way. Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of their own mind. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of so-and-so. It's in the law of the Lord. 119:2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Amen. That seek Him with the whole heart. The scripture teaches that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. What is it that you're hungering and thirsting after? Is it righteousness? Are you even thinking about righteousness? What about the law of the Lord? Are you thinking about the law of the Lord? Do you care about the law of the Lord? What about the way? Do you know what the way is? Who the way is? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. He is the living Word of God. And yes, He is alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father in power and glory. Amen. You want your community straightened up? Straighten up your home. Straighten up your heart. Seek God. It's a crying shame when the children are in school and can't even control themselves. Can't sit still, can't be quiet, cannot make a good choice, cannot receive instruction. And when the parents are the same way, cannot receive instruction, will not come to instruction, will despise the correction of God. Amen. Are not concerned at all with the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time to turn. It's time to turn. How do we cleanse our way? How do we turn back? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. You seek the Lord. You keep His word. The scripture goes on to say in Psalms 119, verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. If He says no fornication, then you don't fornicate. You don't go around just having extramarital relations or sexual relationships out of wedlock, all up and down the street, all over the place, one person after another, not having any concern. Amen. They walk in His ways. If He says don't do that, don't do that. If He says be sober, be sober. Psalms 119:4 says, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. Psalms 119:9. How will you cleanse your way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. Amen. Pay attention to what God has said. Do what God said. Hallelujah. That's how you turn around. That's how you cleanse your way. Amen. God has given us a choice. He's given us a choice. We can choose the reprobate mind to to think wrongly and to make the wrong decision, to go our own way to destruction. Or we can choose to seek the Lord with our whole heart and let Him instruct us and teach us and to follow His precepts and His laws. Amen. We have that choice. And when we make that choice, we recognize that there are consequences for the wrong choice. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord has given us a choice. He's given us the choice to partake of His blessings or to live according to judgment and wrath. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's no one to blame. There's no one else coming to save us. Hallelujah. We have to turn to the Lord, and we have to recognize who He is and what He's doing. We have to listen to His word, whether we want to hear it or not. That correction is what will save us. We have to receive what it is that He is giving us, that He is sending to us. Hallelujah. Maybe one key is to stop asking for so much that we want and learn how to receive what He has already given. Hallelujah. How to walk in the way that He has already provided. And we may begin to see that when we walk in what God has already provided, that we won't have to ask for anything because everything is already there. Amen. We serve a good God. We serve a loving God. We serve a God of restoration. We serve a God that in spite of our rebellion, He's standing there with a heart full of love, desiring, longing, waiting for us to turn around and to come to Him. And He will cover our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He will remember our sins no more. And we will become His children. And he will be ready and faithful to give us all good things. Hallelujah. Amen. We may still suffer in this life, but if we suffer for righteousness' sake, if we suffer and we have the Lord on our side, the situation is a win-win situation. Some things we don't understand, but the just live by faith. And the Lord will reveal to us what we need to know. We need to be obedient, step by step. So the first step that we need to take is acknowledging our sin, our unrighteousness. And acknowledging that God is a God of salvation, and through faith in Jesus Christ, we come to Him for salvation. We come to Him for forgiveness of those sins. We come to Him seeking righteousness and a proper relationship with Him. And we start there with God, with that man in the mirror. And then let that love of God, that peace that he gives us, let that shed out from our hearts and to everyone around us. We have to start with ourselves by going to God and getting our relationship right with Him and then reflecting that into the world. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross for our sins. Amen. Help us to walk more obediently and to be more like you. Heavenly Father, you are above all. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. And we excitedly and hopefully perseverance to your return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have been listening to Kingdom Concepts. My name is Keith Fields. Visit us on kingdomconcepts.net and find out more about our ministry. Communicate with us. Check out our links, our media page. It's under construction, and we look forward to hearing from you. So, until next time, stay strong in the power of the might of the Lord, and be blessed. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in.